A condition that's kept many parents awake at night, comforting a crying, feverish child who turns out to have a middle ear infection, otitis media. And some parents have to deal with this again and again and become worried about the amount of antibiotics their child is having. Sometimes the GP refers the child to an ear, nose and throat surgeon in the hope that maybe inserting tubes, grommets, through the eardrum might help. The operation is called tympanostomy with tube insertion. Now a trial has been done comparing repeated courses of antibiotics with grommets. The study leader was Professor Alejandro Hoberman, Chief of General Academic Pediatrics at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center Children's Hospital, and I spoke to him earlier.
Thank you.
What did we know before you did this study?
We knew that acute otitis media infections is the most common reason for children to get an antibiotic. And we do know that about 20% of children experience recurrent acute otitis media, and that the main goal of placing tympanostomy tubes has been to reduce the rate of ear infections after placement of tympanostomy tubes or grommets. And the concern was that if we use antimicrobial treatment with episodes of ear infections, we will enhance the likelihood of children harboring a resistant pathogen that then is going to cause the next ear infection. So those were the two main reasons for placing tympanostomy tubes.
So the conversation about glue ear has disappeared. I mean, in the olden days, you had this gunk inside the middle ear and you could see the fluid there. It was affecting the child's hearing. And that was one reason why, particularly in disadvantaged kids, particularly Aboriginal kids in Australia, you would have a perforation and a discharge from the ear as well. So there was this whole debate about glue ear as well and loss of hearing.
I would say the ship of the glue ear and the otitis media with the fusion sailed many years ago. My mentor, Jack Paradise, conducted a study in the late 90s and during the early 2000s in which he showed that among children with persistent fluid in the ear or glue ear, those children did not benefit from tympanostomy tube placement and there was no impact on the child's language acquisition and on their cognitive skills. So what happened over the years, we stopped doing grommets for persistent middle ear effusion. And we continue doing a lot of grommets for recurrent acute otitis media, recurrent bouts of ear infection, with the thinking was that if you put grommets in, you will decrease the frequency of episodes and then you will not expose them to multiple courses of antibiotics.
So this study was a comparison of the two.
First, we enrolled about 1,000 kids under age 3 years. We followed them to determine if they truly had recurrent ear infections, and that's defined as 3 in 6 months. Or 4 in 1 year with 1 over the last 6 months. And at that point, 250 of those children were randomized, half to get grommets and half to continue to be treated with antibiotics every time they have an ear infection. And they were followed for 2 years.
And
let me expand a little bit on the 2 years. Many of the previous studies have been short-lived, and there was a short benefit for a few months, and then things did not work as well. So we did the 2-year study to try to find out if there was a different rate of ear infections, and there was none. And not only that, but also as we looked at resistance in the nasopharynx, in the back of the nose of children, there was no increased likelihood of antimicrobial resistance. So none of the two reasons that generally were used to prescribe the insertion of tympanostomy tubes or grommets panned out.
But you didn't have a third arm, which is no treatment at all, because a lot of these,
correct,
these infections would have been viral, not bacterial.
You're talking to the wrong interviewee for that. I don't believe that a lot of the infections are viral. I would say all the infections start with a viral infection, and then whenever that virus occludes and obstructs the Eustachian tube, the tube that communicates the middle ear with the back of the throat, it actually then generates negative pressure in the middle ear. And then when it opens up and the child swallows, that negative pressure is released, and then bacteria are sucked from the back of the nose, the back of the throat, into the middle ear, causing infection. So if you look for viruses, I've done those studies, you're always going to find them because those are the culprits of starting the problem. But at the time the child has a bulging eardrum filled with pus, that's bacterial 95% of the time.
General practitioners here in Australia are taught that you can hang on with otitis media and not give antibiotics and they will resolve. Is this a problem with diagnosis, that they're just seeing a red drum, but it's not a true otitis media?
Mostly, yes, I would say. In general, red eardrums don't mean much, and we don't treat red eardrums or pink eardrums. We want to see bulging of the tympanic membrane. So the accuracy of diagnosis of ear infections is hard. Pediatricians are right generally 80% of the time. And yes, it's not a life-threatening disease. So if you leave even a child with a bulging eardrum enough days, eventually they will get better. The question is, what's the quality of its in-between? So if you let them go for many days, eventually they're going to get better.
Without a perforation?
But it, sometimes they perforate and they drain and the children is instantly relieved. But many times they slowly gets better. But the quality of life of those days in between is not the same because they're having ear pain during that period of time. So in a 12-month-old, 13-month-old with fever and a bulging eardrum, I have no doubt that the right treatment is an appropriate antimicrobial therapy for 10 days. We've done also a study comparing 5 days and 10 days and showed that 10 days is better than 5 days.
And just to summarise, if the GP looks in the ear and just sees a normal-looking eardrum except that it's a bit red, that's not a cause for antibiotics.
I would not treat that patient. I would not even call that an ear infection. So that's part of the viral illness that you were talking about before. It's a little red. There's no bulging of the eardrum, even though the child may be uncomfortable because of the fever and the viral illness, but that's not an ear infection.
And if the child's complaining of ear pain and there's no bulging eardrum?
The reasons for ear pain may include negative pressure in the middle ear. So a red eardrum that it's retracted and sucked in because of the negative pressure in the ear may hurt. So in some way, giving Tylenol, making them feel more comfortable, but antibiotics are not needed for that generally. What is the take home of this study? Should nobody get tympanostomy tubes? And the answer is no. If we have children that have declared themselves as having recurrent acute otitis media, the general practitioner can take a deep breath and continue to treat them with antibiotics and see how they behave over the next few months. If they have two more ear infections in 3 months or three more in 6 months, then placing tympanostomy tubes among those children would be okay. So in other words, meet the criteria for recurrent acute otitis media twice, not only once. And that way you will decrease by probably 50 to 75% the number of children that get tympanostomy tubes or grommets.
Thanks very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Professor Alejandro Hoberman is Chief of General Academic Pediatrics at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center Children's Hospital.